You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gentlemen,
the time has come.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Coach?
Hodge?
Hodge?
Get in another
corner!
Hodge!
Hodge! Hodge!
From CHGO, it's Adam Ho. And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
It's one of the craziest games that I've covered live. But yeah, crazy for me.
I feel like, how many times a season do we say that?
Yeah, but this one, like,
I know.
In the red zone.
I'm not disputing what you're saying. I'm just like, how does this franchise keep doing this?
Anyway, who cares?
Here they are, the Adams, Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in, Hogan Johns. Back with you on a Tuesday edition. What's up, Johnsy?
I cannot wait to break down every play of the Jets' big win over the Bears.
No.
Did you watch the film? Be honest.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, of course
you lied. Yeah, you lied.
No.
You lied. Prove it. Show it. If you're watching on YouTube, I am demanding him show his grades and his notes. It's the last time he showed us. That's just the play sheet. That's the game book.
Yeah, but that's where I scribble down the numbers and stuff. I didn't enjoy it. I definitely spent the least amount of time on any game watching it. But yeah. No, I ruined my Sunday night after my Sunday afternoon was already ruined. So, yeah. That's what we do this time of year.
Ruin Sunday nights?
Well, when you come home and rewatch a game like that, yeah.
Fair enough. Drink your liquid death.
Not good. Yeah, it's right there. A little good product placement, too. Instead of your generic coffee cup.
Yeah, I don't have my Athletic cup. I think it's in the wash. Dishwasher.
I was going to say, you're putting that in the laundry?
You know what I meant.
I know what you meant. All right, welcome in. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Read Johnsy on The Athletic, theathletic.com/Hogan Johns, where you can also read Kevin Fishbane, who'll be joining us on the podcast today. It's been a while since we talked to the fish man.
He was in New Jersey for that game.
So, yeah, he'll be here, to break down Trevor Siemian, his guy. And we also have, a lot of other things to talk about, including a couple of players who, well, one we know is out for the year. The other one might be. And I think they're interesting players to discuss. You can also read me at allchgo.com. The newsletter dropping tomorrow. I'm going to be taking a little tease for you. I'm going to be kind of looking at, we've got a large enough sample size from the season right now, Johns, that I think we can start looking at the futures of some of these players and who's actually a keeper and who's not. So I'm going to be jumping into that a little bit in this week's edition of Bears Things, which you can get tomorrow morning in your inbox or at allchgo.com if you are a diehard member. So make sure you are. Two of those players that I think are, one I would definitely call a keeper. The other one I think is a little bit more up in the air, but both are in interesting situations, particularly in regards to their contracts, in my opinion. But let's start with Darnell Mooney. So Darnell Mooney is going to need season-ending surgery and unfortunately suffered a bad enough ankle sprain that it sounds like there's some ligament damage. And that makes for a tough offseason. So that's definitely not what you want to be dealing with going into an offseason. We know how hard Darnell Mooney works. We know how well he is respected in that locker room. And, if and when Justin Fields returns to the field, which we think he will, he's not going to have Darnell Mooney anymore to throw to. And that's not a great thing. But what do you make of Darnell Mooney's season, Johns, in the context of he's certainly a candidate to get a contract extension in the offseason going into the final year of his rookie deal. He's also a fifth round pick, meaning he's not making a ton of money right now compared to what first and second rounders would be making. And now this injury, I think, throws in another little wrinkle to what was already sort of a disappointing 2022 season.
Well, I think it's been a disappointing 2022 season for the entire passing offense. I think you expected more production given all the talk about his chemistry with Justin Fields, all the videos of them working out together, the stories about them being down in Atlanta together, all the things you like to hear going to the offseason. But he was never on pace for a 1,000-yard season. Never. He had one last year, playing in Matt Nagy's offense, but he was never on pace for one this year. So there is some disappointment, but I don't think that doesn't mean he still don't win over the Bears or continue to win over the Bears. I think his value is evident. I think he was caught up in a process. I hate using that word over and over again, but that's what it was. That's what it is. Justin Fields learning Luke Getsy's offense. Luke Getsy learning Justin Fields. A bunch of other receivers learning the offense, including Darnell Mooney. That's why you have a dip in production. So he didn't put up the fantasy numbers, but I still think he won over the team. Now, this ankle injury does change the conversation a bit. Like, the Bears can just go into next season and make it a prove-it year. They can. He's under contract. I don't think Darnell Mooney wants that, though.
Well, I think that's why I brought in his draft spot, you know. It's an interesting, when you're drafted later, I think there's a little bit extra to consider because you have a little bit more motivation to go get that long-term security with that, you know, significant raise you're getting with any type of long-term deal, even if you're not getting paid like a top receiver, right? So I think that's the question for Darnell Mooney too. I mean, you said on the Bears side they could set it up as a prove it year. But if you're Darnell Mooney, do you bet on yourself? You say, I'm going to come back. I'm going to this passing offense is going to be different next year. We're going to have more wide receivers. Justin Fields is going to be even he's going to take those next steps, and we're going to dominate and put up big numbers, and set myself up for a huge contract.
Maybe you do both. Maybe if you're Darnell Mooney, you're a little inventive with this. Maybe you take a one-year contract extension for more money. Again, he's a fifth-round pick, not making crazy money. He shouldn't command crazy money in the market as well. I mean, there could be interest, but you're just dealing with the Bears. Take a one-year extension and bet on yourself after one more year. Give yourself a little bit more security if this ankle injury happens to be a problem. For a player whose career is built on speed and route running, I think he needs a healthy foot. Healthy thing to pivot on. And yeah. I think the Bears are going to be very curious to see what his ankle becomes.
For the record, Darnell Mooney is still a good player. I mean, obviously, last year he graded out for me as a long-term starter. This year he's still a high-end starter despite a slight dip, but he's so consistent. No negative grades. Really, the only disappointing moment for him in the season, or huge missed opportunity, was that pass
Washington game.
Yeah, the catch he didn't make at the end of the Washington game, which would have been a victory. You know, now in hindsight, that may have been good for the Bears. But for him, you certainly, from the player perspective, you always want to make that catch, and that's the type of play that gets you on highlights all week long, and I'm sure that's something that's kind of eaten at him, not making that play, game-winning opportunity against Washington. By the way, saved Washington's entire season.
Yeah, and even before that, yeah, it's true. Different teams since then. There were other instances. Was it the New York Giants game where, I mean, there was a full breakdown of why he didn't run down the middle of the field and Justin Fields didn't throw the ball to him. Remember that? Like, there was part of that was part of his story before that drop. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is, again, just a lot of guys learning this offense. A quarterback learning this offense. A quarterback trusting his line and trusting his receivers. There's a lot of things that play into the Bears having the worst passing offense in the league.
Yeah.
I think Eddie Jackson's a different story a little bit.
Yeah, that's who the next player is we were going to talk about. Now, we don't necessarily know the extent of his injury. I still don't think it's good. Flus was just saying, you know, more testing coming, blah, 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 all that yesterday. But regardless, I think we look at his season, and it was certainly a step back in the right direction for Eddie Jackson. I would like to point out that over the course of the last 6 weeks, my grades on Eddie Jackson have been significantly lower than they were in the first 6 weeks. And I still think that there's been some missed tackles. Certainly you like the ball production that's kind of returned this year. What I'm trying to set up here, Johns, is I don't think that this is a slam dunk. Hey, Eddie Jackson's back. He's worth the contract that he was paid. You got to keep him around.
But he's also under contract.
Right.
For 2 more years, I believe. I'm trying to pull it up right now. Internet doesn't want to work with me. 2 more years, I believe. It is significant contract still.
Yeah, through 2024, 2025 is a void year.
Yeah, so he's got 2 more years left on his deal. Part of it is just play it out. The Bears have the most cap room in the NFL next year. It's not like you need to cut him for cap space and stuff like that.
Right.
It could be a classic case of, let's see how we can replace him first before we cut him. Sure, that foot changes the conversation, just like Darnell Mooney's ankle changes the conversation a bit, but still good enough to where you tell yourself, let's play it out. He's under contract. It could be as simple as that.
Yeah, so I certainly don't think that you're in a position where you need to like think about cutting him or anything for the cap savings. That's not necessarily what I'm getting at. Do you think there's any kind of trade market for Eddie Jackson after the season he had?
Well, he's got that foot injury again. It muddies the conversation.
Yeah, I think that definitely muddies it.
Maybe mid-season next year, if the Bears are still in with this mode of out with the old, in with the new.
Right.
You saw it happen with Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith. Like, if the Bears can trade Roquan Smith, they could trade Eddie Jackson. But the difference is Eddie Jackson's under contract for 2 more years and just happens to like being here. Roquan Smith didn't want to be here.
It's true.
I think Matt Eberflus has been great for Eddie Jackson's career, and I think Eddie Jackson realizes that. I'm using too many full names, but I think that's what's playing out here.
That's like Ted Albrecht's joke with my name. Yeah. It's like the only way you could say Adam Hogue is Adam Hogue. You got to say Adam Hogue every time.
You got to say the full name.
Yeah.
But even going back to training camp, you could tell that Eddie Jackson liked the staff.
Yeah.
He played for Nick Saban. Being coached hard to hustle and all that stuff probably feels about right for him.
Yeah, I think that... yeah, he's probably here next year. I mean, there's really no reason to cut him. You could get cap savings, you know, somewhat significant cap savings, I think up to $7.5 million just by cutting him, but there's not really a need to do that this year.
Is Elijah Hicks ready to take over that free safety role?
No. No, you just have to go out and use some draft capital on another safety. So it's like, even if you were to trade him for a pick, well, then you're usually turning around using that pick on a younger safety, you know? So, and I think at some point you do need veterans, right? You need to have, and clearly that's already the case. You hear the stories of these young guys leaning on Eddie Jackson already.
I think if you're Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, you could go into the offseason telling yourself that you like the secondary of Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon at cornerback and Jaquan Brisker and Eddie Jackson at safety. You could feel good about that. Young guys, talented guys, one very proven veteran in Eddie Jackson, one of the better cornerbacks out there, I think, in Jalen Johnson. I know that could be debated, but still pretty darn good.
Would it surprise you if I told you that my grades on Kyler Gordon so far this season are as a reserve / special teamer?
Can I know we're going to take some questions from Twitter here.
Yeah.
But this, the inspiration for it was a question posed to us last night from a longtime listener, Mr. Anderson. Can I read this one to you real quick?
Sure.
It's part of this. There's a tweet at you at me and you and me during the Steelers game last night at 8:12 p.m.
Okay.
Just for Mr. Anderson. At what point do we start to question Poles as a talent evaluator? How do you evaluate Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker as better talent than Pickens? That's George Pickens, the Steelers receiver. Especially when you have a young QB and a wide receiver is a need. Additionally, you trade a better second-round pick for a wide receiver lesser talent than George Pickens. He's obviously mentioning or referencing Chase Claypool.
Yeah. By the way, Pickens didn't play that well last night.
He made a couple outstanding catches, or one outstanding catch down the right sideline.
He did. He had a two-point conversion, but there were some other issues in that game. There was one, at least one drop I saw.
There was a touchdown, potential touchdown off his right hand.
Yeah. Look, I still like Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker. I'm kind of surprised when I look at this spreadsheet I have that they have graded out as lowly as they have, and I think that there's a possibility that that's a product, somewhat of a product of the defense that they've been in. I still like their traits. I like some of the plays that they've made. I think Kyler Gordon has to get a lot better, though, if he's going to truly be that, you know, inside slot corner in this defense. And regardless, I would say the Bears have to get another corner, right? I would spend money, I think, on another corner.
We need another corner!
A veteran.
Yeah.
I think that George Pickens conversation, I don't think it's going to go away because I think George Pickens is going to produce in Pittsburgh. He's going to make those highlight reel catches that you see all over social media like he did last night. He's going to do that. He has the ability to do that. But I don't think Ryan Poles, like to answer Mr. Anderson's question, was in position to draft the receiver with the injury history that George Pickens had. That felt like too much of a risk, especially what you learned about him with Larry Ogunjobi. Didn't want to do it after he came in for his physical. Didn't want to sign his 3-technique defensive tackle, his number one target in free agency, which is before the draft, because of what the medical showed once he was inside the Bears' office. Tore up the contract. It's a figure of speech, but the Bears moved on. I think we learned something about Ryan Poles right there and about his risk for taking chances on injured players. I think George Pickens, who had that serious knee injury, right?
Yeah.
I think that applies here. Christian Watson may be a different story, but George Pickens, I think that applies too.
I'm going to give you some stat comp right here. 12 games, 40 catches, 493 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Oh, I just had that up. Isn't that Darnell
Mooney? That is Darnell Mooney. George Pickens, 11 games, 36 catches. That's 4 fewer in 1 less game. 510 yards. So 17 more than Darnell Mooney and 2 catches. Or I'm sorry, 2 touchdowns. Numbers are virtually identical with one fewer game for George Pickens.
I think the second part of that question is actually more interesting. Like the Bears' first second round pick in 2023 could be like the 35th pick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for Chase Claypool. I get that the draft class doesn't have an elite talent. I get that the free agency pool is weak. You're going to have to overpay. But I think that's a fair criticism right now, is whether or not they're getting what they want from Chase Claypool. But knowing that that's a long-term move. That's not a this-year move. That's a 2-year move. You have to think of next year as well. And I'm interested to see what he could do.
But he's also going in a contract year.
Yeah. Can I say something about the – so you got Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson, Darnell Mooney, Chase Claypool. They're not all getting deals. They're not. I'd be stunned if they all got deals.
You mean this offseason?
Yes. Yeah. They're all entering contract years because they're all from that same draft class. They're all not first-round picks. Not everybody's getting a deal.
There is a nugget coming out right now, and Kevin Fishbane's here. We'll bring him here in a second. Mike Garofalo tweeting just moments ago as we were recording Tuesday morning that Eddie Jackson suffered what appears to be a significant Liz Frank injury in Sunday's game against the Jets. Jackson is still receiving opinions on his foot, but he's considered out indefinitely. Another tough loss. I will say, long-term, that's better than Achilles.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what that looked like when you're watching, right? When he just pulls up and is grabbing his foot. So. But that's
again,
certainly...
I think if you're the Bears, you could play it out. He's under contract. Yeah. You don't need to rush to any decisions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But that's where Roan comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces that work seamlessly together. Roan's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Roan shirt is this white dress shirt. Looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion, and it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan. That's rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Do you have more questions? Should we involve Kevin in
yeah,
this?
We'll bring Kevin in, and okay. Then we'll ask the first one, and then we'll have everybody else take over.
All right, let's bring in Kev. What's up, Kev?
Hello, friends.
What's up, Jim Nance?
I should have worn a quarter zip if I was going to do that. Let's start over. And I'll go get a quarter zip.
No, we're not going to do that.
You're here.
Yeah,
we're not going to do
that. I'm here.
What happened to Northwestern last night against Pitt?
Did they have a game last night?
I don't know.
I didn't watch. It wasn't there.
Anyway, who cares?
I'm with you, Bob.
All right, we were just talking about...
when was the last time John's watched a college basketball game?
Ooh, that's a good question.
March Madness.
When was the last time John's watched a non-March Madness college basketball game?
Never.
Never. Maybe.
No,
yeah.
No, I used to.
Never. That's fine. I used to. 20 years ago. All right, what's our next question?
All right, next question. How excited was Kevin Fishbane to cover a game quarterback by Trevor Siemian? That's it.
It's kind of the best answer.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
I was kind of, I can tell you the excitement level really peaked when for those 45 minutes we thought Nathan Peterman was starting.
That was so ridiculous.
It was, sometimes I like to root for chaos. That was
That was definitely chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say this though, that, the not speaking for myself personally, but the Northwestern community as a whole kind of needed a boost. And, you know, Trevor Siemian, I think, provided one in the first quarter, but that was about it.
No, I don't care.
Let's begin with this question from Robert, because I think this kind of applies to Trevor Siemian and what he did in that first possession. What is preventing the Bears from throwing multiple back shoulder and 50-50 balls to Chase Claypool? Those don't require precision, timing, or familiarity. The lack of usage thus far has been very discouraging. It's from Robert on Twitter. I think we saw Chase Claypool get one of those opportunities from Trevor Siemian. So why don't you think we've seen more?
Well, I think one is back shoulders require chemistry. Especially because a lot of times when you throw a back shoulder, it's not necessarily by design. It's based off of what the coverage is. And both the wide receiver and quarterback have to read that, which is easier for the receiver to do because he's got the, you know, the DB on right in front of him. And he, you know, he may know if I get this type of leverage, spin back towards the sideline. But that's harder for the quarterback to see with all the chaos in front of him, especially if it's, you know, a downfield throw, which usually those back shoulders are.
Wasn't it the Detroit game where Fields went back shoulder down the right sideline to Claypool, but he continued on his go route?
Yeah, I think that was that game.
It was late in the game, right?
And he kind of... It was a weird back shoulder to throw because I feel like it was like rifled over in that direction. And sometimes there's more touch on those. Whenever I think of a back shoulder throw, the first quarterback receiver duo I think of is Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson. I feel like they were the ones that like almost put that play on the map. And it, like there's you're not going to find many quarterback receiver duos in the last 12 years that had better chemistry than those two. So to your point, Hogue, you know, you need the quarterback and receivers to be on the best. I get the question, but I think there's still like multiple levels of your passing game that need to improve almost before you can get to the back shoulder part of things.
If there's one positive from Darnell Mooney's injury situation, and there's not many, if any, but this. Now Chase Claypool has a whole load of opportunity to develop chemistry with Justin Fields when he returns. Like, he could be the guy. It's not going to be St. Brown. It's not going to be Dante Pettis. Chase Claypool, I did it again, can be the guy for Justin Fields down the stretch here.
Yeah, and that, like, is probably near the top of the list of important things left to figure out this season. Yes. It has to be. I mean, especially because the, I mean, that pick We keep talking about how the Bears could be in the top three now in the draft order. But that also means that the pick they traded to Pittsburgh is going to be, you know, in the top three of the second round.
In the 30s.
And they're not going to have that one. So keep rooting for the Ravens to lose, I guess.
Here's another interesting question. This is from Cloudy Future on Twitter. Do you think we see Alex Leatherwood at right tackle before the season is over? Maybe as early as this weekend. I think Alex Leatherwood, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Seriously, like what's going on? Do you guys have any idea of why Alex Leatherwood can't see the field?
No.
No.
It was bad timing for him to was it mono that he had? Or yeah. Whatever.
No, I mean,
but here's the thing about that.
That's like a few weeks ago, is it now?
No, I know. Like,
it was at the beginning of the season. It was at the beginning of the regular season, and the guy was active. The guy's been active.
Yeah.
If he's not ready because of mono, he wouldn't be active.
Well, I just meant that set him back in terms of he was like in the middle of learning the playbook, probably. And then he's got to get himself back on the physical shape. I mean, look, there's a reason he was available. There's something off the field and on the field from what he did last year that just isn't there. And the Bears were kind of hoping they could figure it out. And we're 12 weeks into the season. Apparently they haven't yet. So they have, you know, 5 games left.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but it was probably over a month ago now that I threw a Leatherwood question at Eberflus in a press conference just to it was kind of one of those, where is he? Right? And can he help you still? And I thought he pretty clearly gave a pretty convicting answer that was convincing answer, I should say, that, yeah, we expect Leatherwood to help us at some point this season. And so it is a little, I think this is an interesting week given the injuries at right tackle. I thought it was interesting that yesterday Flus offered up Leatherwood's name and Michael Schofield's name as the possible right tackles. Should both Riley Reiff and Larry Borum be out? So if those guys are out and you're still playing Michael Schofield over Leatherwood at this point, I view that as kind of a significant red flag.
Well, this also goes back to we've talked about this year, last year, when it was Afedi versus Borum. You know, this goes to that coaches versus personnel department battle. Right, where if you're Ryan Poles, don't you want to get more reps from Alex Leatherwood than Michael Schofield? But if you're Chris Morgan and you're Luke Getsy, if you trust Michael Schofield more, you're going to want to put him in. And I'll say this that almost defends that is, and I wrote about this recently when talking about EQ. You know, getting more snaps and everybody wants N'Keal Harry and Bayless Jones. If everything's about Justin Fields, shouldn't the guys on the offensive line be the ones you trust the most to know what they're doing? So, you know, if we're talking about the future of the team and what's most important these last 5 games, you want guys that, I hate to go both sides, but I see both sides of you want to see the young guys who might have a future more than these veterans on 1-year deals, but you also want the receivers who know how to run routes, the receivers who know how to block, the offensive linemen who know their assignments, because you don't want your quarterback getting killed, and you want your quarterback to be able to trust his receivers. So that's going to play a role also.
It's different than any other position. Because you got to keep the quarterback upright. You got to keep the quarterback healthy. The quarterback's already dealing with a banged up left shoulder.
Yes. A lot of times I think we all fall, we kind of overthink this sometimes. If the guy was good, if they trusted him, he'd be playing.
Yeah.
They're playing a 5th-round rookie at left tackle and have the entire season. If things were going well there, he'd be playing.
Oh, hey, guys, I have a quarter zip right here. Yeah. I really, really butchered that Jim Nance thing.
No, don't care.
All right, this is from Kurt Stubblefield. The defense is bad. We all know it. But is it a truly lack of talent or some of it are... Let me read that again. But is it truly a lack of talent or some of it a scheme issue? Are we getting the most out of our players? Fangio was brilliant at achieving more with less. Not seeing it with this coordinator. That would be Alan Williams.
That's a great question. I'm going to let Hogue go first. That's
no,
a really good question.
I agree. Like, this is why a few weeks ago when everybody was like trying to convince themselves they were happy about the Lions' loss, I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, draft stat is fine. But, like, you had supposedly good key players struggle in that game and contribute to, what did they give up, 24 points or whatever it was, like, in the second half, late in the game? And they couldn't get a stop. Yeah, I don't think we're going to know the answer to that question until there's more talent on there, like hopefully sometime next year. But I think it is an open-ended concern that is not, I just caution fans, it's not just a given that if the Bears spend money on a big Will linebacker and add a three technique, maybe with the second or third overall pick in the draft, and add another corner with some money. It's not a given that all of a sudden the defense is going to be what Bears fans are used to seeing in this town, which is pretty damn good. I still do have questions about the scheme.
So I forgot who brought this up, but you could argue there were only two guys playing on defense on Sunday that will 100%, not even 100, I think Jalen Johnson, the only guy who was playing at the end of the game Sunday, who could say 100% is going to be a starter next year with this defense. I would put Jack Sanborn and Justin Jones like right there.
Yeah, I would say Sanborn, it depends on if you're counting the Sam linebacker spot as a starting spot. Yeah, I would say minimum Sanborn's probably your starting Sam.
Hey, read my story in The Athletic. Go ahead.
Good story about Jack Sanborn. He went to Lake Zurich High School.
I still need to.
So that's why it's like.
Do you know he's a Badger?
Did know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that your story?
Lots of Badger stuff in the story.
Well, how do you feel about Luke Fickell?
I haven't talked to him about it yet.
Well, what the hell, man?
That'll be an updated story tomorrow.
That's not what your story is about? I don't want to read that. Jeez. I know he wanted Jimmy Leonard.
Yes, he did. He's mentioned in the story.
Oh.
Go on, Kev. Sorry.
That's who the Bears' next defensive coordinator should be.
I was just going to say, should the Bears hire Jim Leonard?
Well, the Packers probably will, so.
Should the Bears hire Jim Leonard just so the Packers don't?
My column.
Yeah. I guess the point of all that is, I mean, the personnel is bad. It was really bad that was out there on Sunday. Yeah. But it makes a good point. You go back, you look at those 2015, 2016 defenses, look who was on the field. And those defenses put up decent numbers for the most part.
Can I, do you guys remember the storyline earlier in the year about the defense not allowing like a second half touchdown over like five games?
Yeah, it feels like 3 years ago, but yeah, I do.
Let's not forget about that. Let's, point out that then they traded Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn. Like, dudes cried. Let's not forget about that. The Bears defense actually did their, I would argue they did their job against Detroit because the Bears offense actually outscored the Lions output. It was a pick six that was the difference. And I believe is it Atlanta? It was the kick return from Patterson. That was the difference in the game, not what they allowed. So if you just go off offensive defensive production, the Bears offense outscored the Falcons.
Yeah, I let me just take
I'm not saying they're
that.
Good, but I'm just saying you're, that they're
you're not wrong, except you the expectations for the defense needs to be better than still giving up 27 points or whatever it
I know.
Is.
I'm just saying
they should be down in the 20 or like I'm 17 just, to 20 range.
And they were that. And then you traded two of your best players. I believe there's a graphic during that Jets game that over the first five or six games, they allowed 19.9 points per game, and that's obviously jumped since then.
But I thought you said Sanborn was better than Roquan.
I think if the production is there. I think they miss Robert Quinn more than Roquan Smith, if I'm arguing that point.
Yeah.
Then you have injuries galore. Just stuff to think about. I think Jalen Johnson missed a game in there.
They do rank better in takeaways than I kind of thought they would, because they had a three-game drought without one. They've also had, I think they've had at least two takeaways on special teams.
Yeah.
Which Hogue already knows.
Yeah. Your stat that you had, I think early on in that game, that was, what was it, that was the first PBU by a corner or a DB?
A corner, yeah.
A corner.
Eddie Jackson had a PBU against Atlanta.
So, since when? So, that was the first cornerback PBU since?
Miami game. So, they went three full games without a, two full games without a PBU from a corner.
See, that's where I'm...
They went five full games without a sack from a defensive lineman.
I'm not trying to rain on the Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker parade, but I think there's just like this assumption that they're good, and that's where, I mean, I think they're probably going to be good. I don't think they have been good, like fine for rookies.
Brisker's been better than Gordon.
I agree. Yes. I still don't think Brisker's been a slam dunk, though.
I think Brisker has let his... I feel like his aggressiveness has gotten the best of him at some situations in the open field. You go back to that Packers game, especially. Like, just sometimes he's... I feel like he's in the right spot more often than not, but just can't get his feet under him sometimes. So I feel like I'm not as worried about him. Like, that's something that you can fix. Kyler Gordon, though... A little preview for Wednesday at the Athletic. I have like a rookie status report story coming out. Kyler Gordon, he had the nice open field tackles against Atlanta. But there's just not a whole lot of plays you can point to from him this year. Let's say there's more plays given up probably that you can talk about than the ones he's made, right?
Yeah. And Kyler Gordon, one of his strengths was like his ball hawking ability. You've seen a flash here and there, but I was kind of hoping we'd see more of that.
I think if we're going to like honestly examine the struggles on the defense, like we have to rip the defensive line.
Oh, it's the worst. I said this on the CHGO show yesterday. This is the worst defensive line I've ever seen the Bears have.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's just nothing there.
Shots fired at Ego Ferguson, Will Sutton, and whoever else was on that defensive line, but yeah.
Something fired. It's the production just isn't there. It just isn't. And I think that affects the secondary, especially young secondary. You want to protect a little bit.
Do you guys know that Dominique Robinson does not have a quarterback hit since week one?
Yeah, someone told me that yesterday, and I that's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Kevin, we had that stat like going to the Jets game. What was it? The Jets had 50 more quarterback hits than the Bears.
Yeah,
going into that, like I think the Jets had 81 hits heading into Sunday. The Bears had 31.
Yeah,
I mean that's just
speaking of
so much stats, for the hits principle,
Mr. Special Teams Coordinator. The Bears, I like Richard Hightower a lot. He tried to kind of sneak one past us last week when he was asked about Trenton Gill taking that last kickoff against Cordarrelle Patterson. Mm-hmm. When he kind of said, "Oh, we've used Gill all year." No, you didn't.
No,
only used him the game that Cairo Santos was not literally in the state you were playing.
And did he mean just like he's had him practice it all year? I don't know, maybe,
or like that they've had the option. I did think it was interesting that they had. Hey, can we go on a quick tangent here? I'm going to take over your podcast, Hogue. What did you think of the fact that Velus Jones did not take a single kickoff out on Sunday? And Pat Manley brought up the one right before half when there was like 12 seconds left. I was talking to Mark Potash during the game about it, and he brought up the old, it was like the Mark Trestman, why we're kicking on second down, because I don't want to fumble on third down kind of thing. Like, that'd be the only reason, right? Well, what was your take on that?
I think it's very questionable. I think it's another example, and these things keep kind of popping up where even in game, I feel like sometimes their insistence on trying to win these games is hurting the development. Like, you only get so many reps at returns, even in an entire season. And I agree. Like, I think you gotta, I'm not saying take it out every time, but I agree with that one right before half. I think it's a good question for Hightower this week, right? Like, was that the returner making those decisions? Was he just given a stop sign?
Especially when you get into the second half and the thing's out of hand and your offense is doing nothing.
Now,
like, right? Don't you let, or is the argument there, well, the offense is doing nothing. The last thing we need is for them to start at the 18-yard line.
I'd have to go back and look closer at injuries. It is possible that they were short-handed at that point. You may have guys out there that you don't necessarily trust to execute the returns.
That's true. You lost Cruikshank in game. You were already without Sterling Weatherford, who's on those teams. You had, I mean, I don't know if, like, Jalen Jones is usually up on those teams, but he was playing defense. DHC, I don't know which one he missed, but he wasn't on all special team, all four phases.
And he was playing the whole game.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all right. So, this is why I bring this to you. The Hogan Johns podcast is a special teams expert.
Well, trust me.
Take the North.
Well, trust me. Other than the, like, the head coach obviously needs to know when a player is out, like, the special teams coordinator is the next person that needs to know from the training staff when somebody's out of the game, because it can
use everybody.
It could be a scramble of, oh crap, okay, I know I got one backup, but then after that backup goes down, or then you're moving this guy over here, and then this guy over here, you're like, you do end up in situations where you throw somebody in the game and you're like, okay, just do this. Mm-hmm. Like, and you just draw a line and you're like, just do this, try to block this guy. And in the NFL, where you're getting more touchbacks, I could see how it maybe got to, I'm just guessing, right? We should ask Hightower, but I think the answer to that is maybe they were just like, we have too many guys out. This isn't going to be a big return anyway. We're not sure we trust them to execute it. You know, just take the touchback.
That's fair. And the reason I bring it up too is, you know, we talking about developing players. Like, I don't know what Velus Jones could be as a wide receiver. I mean, like, how many routes is the guy? The one time he was targeted on a pass, we saw what happened in Dallas.
Yeah.
Everything else has been gadget. And not to say that you can't make it work as a gadget guy, but to me, it seems like right now his ceiling could be reached as a kickoff returner. Like, that's where he could be your weapon. So you'd like to get him as many reps as you can, you would think.
But I'm not saying he needs to be Devin Hester, but remember Devin Hester's rookie season? Could there be two opposite rookie seasons? Yeah. If that's really what you're hoping for at this point, he's got a way to go. All right, real quick before we get out of here, Kev, would you play Justin Fields this week with all the injuries, questions?
I mean, I'm kind of the mind that if the trainers check him out good and he says he's good to go, like, why not? Like, I just think, like, if he's 100% and he can play, is he that much more of risk of injury or further injury if he plays Sunday than if he plays in 3 weeks against, like, he's coming up against everyone's like, oh, just like keep him out of there until after the bye. Okay, then you're going to have him play against two of the best teams in football.
Yeah, the Eagles and the Bills.
After him, and you're going to be playing from behind in both those games. He's going to be dropping back to pass a ton. So, I don't know. To me, I kind of understand the coaching philosophy of it's pretty cut and dry. If he's 100% and the trainers check him out, I have no problem with him playing.
I tend to agree with you.
Go develop some chemistry with Claypool. Continue what you're doing with Kmet. Throw a couple screens to Velus Jones Jr.
Back shoulder to Claypool.
Yeah.
Make sure Alex Leatherwood's in his right spot. And
you know the Packers.
I'm not sure about that yet, but yeah.
You know the Packers are going to be targeting that shoulder too, if he's running at all. I mean, that's my concern. Is like, if he can't, if you're not going to trust him to run what you've been running, that's been working? Are you putting him at a... You can either look at it two ways. Okay, now you're forcing the development of the passing game. Run the ball a lot, David Montgomery. The Packers gave up... I mean, basically, what was it, about 1,000 yards in that game to the Eagles the other day? Yeah. 360.
Well, I'm sure Luke Getsy's watching that and just thinking of all the things he can do, but...
Be nice to have Khalil Herbert this week.
If Justin Fields can't run, aren't you putting yourself at a competitive disadvantage?
Yeah, but at least you give yourself the threat of running. Trevor Siemian doesn't give you that. Is there a plane landing outside your house,
Kevin? I was just going to ask if you guys can hear that.
What is going on at your house, Kevin Fisher?
Next door neighbors have a pretty immaculate front yard, and they've got their
crew there.
Their folks tending to it right now.
Okay.
So those are leaf blowers, I believe.
Nice.
Kev, do you want to stay for the very brief voicemails?
Sure, I like listening to voicemails, which I obviously listen to every week anyways when I download the podcast.
That's a good point. Rate and review.
Very brief.
All right, yeah, let's go. Your voicemails from this Jets game, which were short.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Hogan John's voicemail. The Hogan John's voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game.
Go Bears!
Hogan Cat, John's it, babe. Bob Dabrowski here calling in again. I apologize for last week. Apparently, the Atlanta airport security has a problem with people going nude, dressed in full body paint only, going through customs down there in the ATL. And anyway, there was a kerfuffle, and I had to be rushed to the hospital because I had a couple of heart issues because of the screaming and the shouting. And then, I don't know, I think it was personal that they were jealous that we had Justin Fields and he was not back in Georgia professionally. Anyway, I got released and I'm fine and good to go. And now I'm here in New York, a.k.a. the great American dumpster fire that smells like trash or looks like trash. And the people are trash. And the Jets are trash and the Giants are trash. But the Bears are pretty trash, too, because Justin Fields isn't playing today. Neither is Jaquan Brisker. This is a big old who cares because there's really not much to see here. We got our Super Bowl next week. Let's go. Let's get ready for Packer Week. Anyway, it's 7-0 Jets. Who cares? Go Bears. Super Bowl is coming up. Packers. Let's destroy the Packers. Let's go Bears.
Loving the little kid that's on the TV broadcast after the muffed extra point. I want all of us to have that kind of enthusiasm. The rain's falling. He's got his number one jersey, and he is a gamer. Let's go. Bear down.
Hogan Johns, it's Billy from Minneapolis. It's week 12 of the season, and guys that have been playing all season, like Dante Pettis, Cole Kmet, and others, seem to have zero clue where to line up. I get that Chase Claypool's newer to the team and maybe doesn't know the playbook as well, but these other guys have been with the team since training camp or before. So what's the deal with that?
Well, just like New Jersey, the Bears stink. We are currently down 31-10. We are almost, thank God, into the fourth quarter of this football game, and hopefully we can get this thing over sooner than this point of the game came here because, my goodness, injuries have ravaged this team. The field doing all it can, especially with the conditions, to take the lives of every single Bears player with Eddie Jackson and Darnell Mooney gone. Not really sure who from the Bears is even out there at this point.
Hey, Bears fans, D-Man here. I'm sad to hear about Darnell Mooney. He was my guy.
You just got to remember that this game doesn't matter. We're getting a better draft pick, and as long as we come out without injuries, it's all groovy, baby.
Good to hear that Bob's okay.
I think he's okay.
Well, he seems a little,
he's something.
Good use of the word kerfuffle, I thought.
Great word.
It is a good word. All right. Anything else, guys? It's time to wrap this thing up.
That's it. There's a few things to watch the rest of the season. We got Packers, Bears on coming up.
Well, and of course, we'll hear more about Justin Fields hopefully tomorrow, get an idea where he's at, and maybe have a better idea if he'll play this week. And of course, the Packers have their own quarterback situation, which we will talk more about on Thursday. Matt Schneidman will join us as he usually does.
Remember when the Bears lost to Brett Hundley?
I do.
I was there. I covered that one.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I think we were all there. That was fun.
I'll make that my last word.
Thanks. Is that a Trubisky game? 2017?
Yep, 2017. Bears. It was like the first time the Bears were favored against the Packers in a long time.
I remember writing a column going into that game thinking it was the first time ever, at least in recent history, the Bears have the advantage of quarterback.
Which they
should have, yeah.
Yeah, they should have. I think Mitch played okay that day. But the Bears couldn't stop Brett Hundley.
I mean, we'll talk about this Thursday, but I think the Packers are insane if they're not playing Jordan Love.
Did he look good the other day?
I mean, the Eagles were kind of sitting back, and you get a quarterback change, you're always adjusting.
You stick to your guns.
Oh, I still think he's bad. If he was any good, they wouldn't have given Aaron Rodgers that stupid contract they gave him.
It's true.
There would have been no logic in doing so. I think you could say this time that if the matchup is Justin Fields versus Jordan Love, this time the Bears have the quarterback advantage.
Doesn't mean they're going to win, but they got the quarterback
advantage. Oh, no, they're not going to win. That's not happening. But we'll dive into that more on Thursday. All right, Kev, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Fish guys. Man.
And we follow him on Twitter at KFishbane. You can follow us at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Johnsy's on The Athletic, theathletic.com/HogueandJohns. Bears Things newsletter out tomorrow, allchgo.com. Sign up, be a diehard. You can get this sweet hoodie, too, that came in. I think I'm going to wear it for 5 straight days. I'll wash it. You ever get that new comfy hoodie this time of year? You're just like, I want to wear this every day.
I just got one for my son's travel baseball. You don't want to overwash it. Then you lose that comfort.
That's true. True. There's a line in there that you gotta.
Yes.
Yeah. So just wear it around the house. It's smelly. You should show people your hoodie too. Go to obviousshirts.com. Still time in the month of November. Everything that gets sold, let's see, today and tomorrow. Tomorrow's the end of November already. Holy crap. Obviousshirts.com. Portion of the proceeds going to help the 22Q Family Foundation. All right, we're out of here. We'll be back Thursday. Bears, Packers. We'll break it all down for you. Talk to you then. Yeah.
The Packers, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, go Bears.
Hey, hey. Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.